And we are recording.
All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the first December edition of DC Talk. This is episode number 128, recorded here on December the 6th of 2020. And boy, do we have some news tonight for you in the DC realm. But before we get to all that, I have with me the one, the only, the magnificent host herself, Carrie.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm just, you know, sitting here. I'm on my second podcast recording for the day. I just finished up recording the Sci-Fi Pubcast. Now we're doing this one. I'm gonna take a nap after this.
I figured that'd be way too social.
What?
I figured that'd be the way to do everything. Just do everything at once.
Yeah, that works. Sure.
Well, awesome. So as far as like announcements for the network, nothing else is really going on. I will say that some of the stuff we're probably going to cover in this one, mainly when we start talking about HBO Max, is probably going to be covered more in depth from a pop culture perspective over on the Random Chatter episode when they record that. We're mainly going to hit probably the DC stuff that's going to be hidden with it. So make sure you check out Random Chatter as well. I will say that Disney, I know, is having their shareholders meeting this week. So no doubt Guardians and Random Chatter as well are going to be hitting some pretty heavy stuff. So there's a lot of end of the year big news stuff coming out. So make sure you guys check out all those podcasts.
Well, my contribution to that is basically what I posted in Discord earlier this week. Your move, Disney.
Yeah.
Your move.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when HBO Max, we talk about that because HBO Max made a huge announcement this week and pretty much put the ball on Disney's court. So we'll see what Disney does this week. But we'll get to all that here. But I have a quote for us this week. And now Carrie knows normally when I quote somebody, it's Lex Luthor. I don't know why. But I thought I'd go a little bit to somebody who's a little more sane and has it all together this week.
really? Yeah. This is what you referred to as someone who's sane.
Hey, out of everything I've seen in 2020, this is probably the most sane thing I've seen.
Oh, that's probably a good point.
Yeah. Yes. So it says, do I really look like a guy with a plan? You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know to do one if I caught it. You know, I just do things. That would be Joker from Batman, the Nolan trilogy. Good old Heath Ledger.
Yeah, and again, the fact that that is who you consider more sane than Lex Luthor, I really question your sanity, dude.
Okay, so when we talk about sane, Lex Luthor is he's a little bit psychotic.
He's a bit of a sociopath.
Joker's one of those who he's just gonna let it all ride out.
Yep.
So, but that's our movie quote of the week. So, do we have anything else before we go ahead and just jump right into our news? Because we have a lot to talk about tonight.
And yeah, I don't think so.
We got to talk about that too.
Yeah.
And boy, do I have thoughts on that.
Oh boy.
All right, well, let's go ahead and go into some news. First up, Merry Christmas, Tim. Joker's fedora from Batman sold for over $50,000 at an auction. A package should be arriving in your mail any day now.
Along with the credit card bill, right?
Along with the credit card bill for this, yes. So I was very shocked when I saw that this fedora sold for $50,000 in auction. I thought that was just
nice. I mean, that fedora is great. I love that. I do love that fedora.
Oh yeah, it's something. That's just a little bit of extra little small news to kind of throw out there. In other news, David Ramsey is coming back to the Arrowverse.
Yay!
Now, he's going to be playing a mystery character on Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that mystery character is. Of course, everybody's first mindset is what, Carrie?
John Stewart.
John Stewart, right.
Green
so
Lantern.
We don't, yeah, we don't exactly know, but he's actually going to show up four times in five Arrowverse episodes, four on the new Superman and Lois. Hang on. He'll show four times, one on Superman and Lois, one on Supergirl, one on Flash, and one on Batwoman. And then he's going to show up as a mystery character on Legends of Tomorrow.
Hmm.
So he's going to show up one on every episode, which that is really...
So instead of having a massive crossover this year, and which I understand, you know, it's going to be hard to do a massive crossover this year because of current events and stuff, we're just going to have David Ramsey crossing over onto all the shows.
Really?
Except for Black Lightning, of course.
And I think that's cool, though.
I think it's cool, too. The guys on Black Lightning and Stargirl probably aren't listening to this, but, you know, get on that, dudes. You know, if
absolutely.
If Black Lightning's ending, just, you know, balls to the wall, guys. Just get David Ramsey on everything.
Just rock everything. I mean, just put the whole thing out. So we don't exactly know what he's going to do. We do know that his episodes, from what they said, the showrunner said that his four episodes are going to be kind of like an arc for him in the show. And then the Legends of Tomorrow. Now, obviously, last season for Legends of Tomorrow, we knew Sarah Lance was abducted by what we think are aliens. Uh-huh. So it would only, to me, make sense that, hey, we're going to get some Green Lantern because in space. Right. So I am glad to see David Ramsey returning because I really loved him in Arrow. And so we'll see what happens.
Although I will say this, if they are going to go with aliens and they are going to potentially bring in the Green Lanterns, it would be a missed opportunity to not bring in like Kilowog or some of the other, you know, non-humanoid lanterns, just for bleeps and giggles.
So what if they decide to trick? What if they decide to trick everybody as the mystery character and fit up David Ramsey as Kilowog? Instead, just to throw people off. I don't think they would do that. I just think it'd be funny to see them throw people off. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's really cool. I'm glad he's coming back. Something else we're getting. So we knew we were going to be getting a Plastic Man sometime soon. But it looks like Warner Brothers is deciding to make this a female-led movie rather than the typical Plastic Man. That we would get. What are your thoughts? Because you had some thoughts about this in Discord, and I kind of agree with you. Okay. So what are your thoughts about this?
So I do like this concept in general.
Yes.
I like the idea of more female-led properties of more and such. My worry is that if they go this route, too many people are going to confuse Plastic Girl or Plastic Woman, however they decide to title it, with The Incredibles.
Yes.
I mean, you already have that issue with Elastigirl and Elongated Woman. Is it Elongated Woman or what's?
No.
I completely forget her character's name at the moment, but from Doom Patrol. IMDb, here I come. This is all great podcasting, guys.
Elastawoman.
Elastawoman.
It was Rita Farr.
Yeah, Rita Farr. She's also Elastigirl. So you have Elastigirl in for The Incredibles. You have Elastigirl in Doom Patrol. And now we are going to have a plastic woman. And I get that, you know, even in like DC Justice League Unlimited, you had Plastic Man and Elongated Man sometimes in the same episode, and there was the joke that Elongated Man was kind of like the B team.
Yeah.
the B team superhero, where Plastic Man was the A team superhero. But still, I worry that people are going to confuse the two. Now, that said, DC has been very good about expecting its audience to expecting their audiences to be kind of up on what is going on in general. So they could find a way around, they could find a way to make this work. It's just, you know, I might have less faith in the audience than DC does.
So do you think DC should have picked a different character to do this with?
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily, no. Because
just to avoid that confusion with, you know, Elastigirl and, you know, Elastigirl and the Incredibles and Elastigirl and Doom Patrol. Do you think they should have done something? You know, maybe chosen somebody else.
Not necessarily, because I think that any character they decided to do this with would run into similar issues somehow.
Okay.
Because we're going to have, no matter what they do with it, they're going to have the contingent of people who are like, "Wow, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to gender bend this character?" And there's going to be a whole lot of hate and discontent, no matter what they do. So
I kind of
expect to happen regardless.
Right.
So this could be a good move. It could not be. It could backfire. I don't know.
Like I okay. So two things. One's kind of a joke, and the other one's kind of not. I won't say a joke, but it's kind of on a funnier side. Something probably never happened, but it'd be cool. And the other one's kind of a weird direction I think they should have gone. I think it'd be cool to see a female Flash. I'm just saying, I think that'd be really cool to see, because we got a taste of that with Iris.
Yeah.
And with
Jesse Quick.
With Jesse Quick and Impulse.
Well,
so I'm talking about like an actual Flash, the main Flash, the Barry Allen Flash.
Well, I know, and this was, I saw this flash across one of my social media feeds a few weeks ago. We didn't really comment on it because it was just not you know what we were just weren't looking at it at the time, but I think they're supposed to be introducing a non-binary speedster, either a non-binary Flash or non-binary speedster.
Okay.
In an upcoming version of the comic.
Okay. No, I don't know. But you don't think that they should have gone with anybody else? Like, I could see them. I thought, to me, if you're going to make a... Okay, I don't mind it being a female-led movie. I should put it like this. I don't mind it being a female-led movie, but to avoid it being so confused or confusing maybe with Elastigirl, New Patrol, and Elastigirl, you know, or Elastigirl in Incredibles, like, I thought it'd be really cool to go the route of... Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern.
Maybe.
And maybe that's where you build, like, you know you're going to have your Green Lantern series, so maybe you have a Green Lantern movie as well. That kind of builds that universe out from her and allow that to kind of be your foundational piece. Kind of like how Iron Man was the foundation for the MCU. You let her be the building the foundational piece for the Green Lantern Corps, the outer space stuff that takes place, not as much on located on Earth. Kind of like we see them kind of wanting to do with Captain Marvel in the MCU.
Yeah.
That they're wanting to use her kind of as the foundation for the space, the galaxy stuff, rather than just what's going on Earth.
That could be something that they could be looking at too. I'm not against this idea.
I just don't want it to become confusing or be closely associated with that.
But yeah, and that might just be me, you know, thinking about it this way. And you know what? Maybe it's just something that, you know, people are gonna have to, you know, acknowledge that this could be a thing and just get over it.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess kind of moving on to some quick bites here before we get to our big discussion one. DC has released a new trailer on the future of the DC Universe. Not like the DC Universe app. This is the comics.
Yeah, this is for the future state crossover that's happening. That's, you know, DC. It's like every year they do a Marvel does the same thing. Every year they do a ginormous inter comic universe crossover, and this is the future state is the one for this year.
And I liked it because it introduced some new people, some fresh mm-hmm. blood into the mix.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And also Batman news, Jim Lee has drawn the Robert Pattinson costume. Did you see this artwork?
I did. It looks really good.
I love Jim Lee. Man, he could draw. It looks very close to the absolute costume he's wearing now. So I like that. And you kind of put this one in here as we kind of move on. I'm not sure who this character is. I'm probably wrong a little bit. But Ava DuVernay is bringing the DC Comics character Naomi
mm-hmm.
to the CW. Now, I don't know anything about Naomi.
Okay, Naomi is a relatively new character. She is apparently from a version of Earth where she's born on a parallel Earth where an environmental crisis gifted 29 random inhabitants with godlike abilities. And she's from like a small town in Oregon on this version of Earth.
Okay.
So, she's a new. Like I said, she was introduced. I think last year. To the DC universe, and yeah, Ava DuVernay wants to do a CW show on her. So I like this idea. I like that we're introducing new DC characters to a wider audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like this. Again, I don't know. They kind of, just from reading a little bit about her, she sounds mm-hmm. a little bit kind of like so she's adopted by a couple in a small Oregon town. Kind of has like a Clark Kent kind of a feel to it.
Yeah.
As she got older, she discovered she had those powers all along. Mm-hmm. So it kind of has that. So they said that former Arrow writer Jill Blankenship is also going to be attached to this project. And I like that because Jill also wrote and produced The Last Ship on TNT. And I really love mm-hmm. that show.
Nice.
It was a really good show. So this is interesting. I like seeing more diversity, and uh-huh. I like seeing more broader base of characters we probably wouldn't normally pine to. Like, we don't need a Batman right. series, a Superman series. We're getting some key people that we don't really normally get.
Right. But I mean, they've been doing that with the CW anyway, because at least with like Flash and a couple of the other shows, they've been introducing new villains and new and newer characters out of the DC Comics into the shows. So that has, so you have your classic, you have your classic villains, your classic characters, and then you have, you know, Godspeed is one of the newer villains.
Yeah.
For example, I know there have been rumors of Red Death, which is, I think, like Thomas Wayne gets a hold of the Speed Force, or like Flashpoint Thomas Wayne gets a hold of the Speed Force or something like that. It's really, really crazy.
I think that's I do agree with you that I do like the way they've been introducing people in the Arrowverse, and they've already been doing that of different, you know, characters that don't normally get a lot of screen time. They've kind of introduced us, so I really do.
Right.
But yeah, Thomas Wayne getting hold of the Speed Force. Oh boy.
Well, it's not even not just Thomas Wayne. I think it's either Bruce Wayne Batman or it's Flashpoint Thomas Wayne Batman that gets a hold of the Speed Force and goes completely psycho. Because he's a villain. I could be wrong.
Hey, what would happen if Godspeed turned out to be Thomas Wayne?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Come on. I'm just saying.
It's
gonna be a twist and a half because you've already got the Waynes are gonna be present inside. Maybe because all we know is that Thomas. I mean, I don't know.
My concern is that, you know, Godspeed, and I don't know, unfortunately, much about Godspeed. I don't know much about Godspeed outside of the Flash TV show, but yeah, this could, and the, I mean, they kind of did this with Zoom. And it's like, you know, because Tony Todd voiced Zoom, but then he turned out to be a white guy under the mask, which is, yeah, weird.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay. But, you know, then if you do this, but if you go that same route, it's like, because BD Wong did the voice of Godspeed, and then if that turns out to be another white guy, it's just like, okay, what's going on here? This is too much of a pattern. What could be interesting is if, and this would be a way to tie, like, the one DC show that we haven't seen a tie back to in the CW verse.
Mm-hmm.
If Godspeed somehow turned out to be Hugo Strange from Gotham.
Oh, wow. That would be mind blown. Let's just go ahead and bring Gotham in.
This is just something I just pulled out. I just pulled out thin air right now, guys. Like, this is like, yeah.
That speculation time right here, guys. This is when you prime the pump right here.
I don't always have good ideas, but when I do,
they are great. They are. So speaking of ideas,
yeah.
Here we go. Big topic.
Oh boy.
So we're gonna kind of blow it out a little bit. We're kind of some of these are kind of burning through, and then we can kind of we can go back and talk about them a little bit. So we're gonna talk about HBO Max and Warner Brothers. Now, as of today, as of this recording, I have officially canceled my DC Universe subscription.
It's set to expire
on the 29th of this month. I canceled it because when everything kind of is changing over to HBO Max, there's not really. As much as I love comics, I don't have time to read the comics as much as I want to, and it would be a waste of money for me. Uh-huh. And instead, I'm going to attempt to purchase right now. First, you can get 6 months for 20% off HBO Max. So I'm probably going to be dropping some money on HBO Max now. Yeah. They've just got, from the series they're bringing to the way they're doing their movies now, what we're going to talk about, it's almost too much to not grab with right now.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah.
As I said earlier in this recording, your move, Disney.
Yeah. So speaking of your move, Disney, HBO Max and Warner Brothers has decided to release Wonder Woman on HBO Max on Christmas Day, the same time as they're going to be releasing in theaters. And it's going to be on HBO Max for 1 month, along with theaters for a month. And then, And here's the kicker. Unlike Disney, who charged $30 for Mulan, Warner Brothers is saying, hey, if you've got HBO Max, we're not going to charge you any premium rate. You get to watch it for free for a month on our service.
Nice.
Now, they can afford to do that a little bit because they're also charging $14.99 a month over just the $5 a month.
Yeah, I see. This is where things start to break down for me because, you know, Disney, because for all that it is really, really cool that HBO is doing this, HBO Max is still $15 a month.
Yes.
And even with the discount for 6 months, one, you have to pay that up front, which you're basically paying for what was for the equivalent of a year of HBO Max or a year of DC Universe for 6 months of HBO Max, and it's still $12 a month.
Yeah.
That is what you're paying for. So that is still like $5 a month more than what I'm paying for Disney Plus.
But we all knew that the streaming war thing was eventually gonna happen. But in essence, I'm still paying cheaper now for the streaming services I want over what I'd pay for DirecTV or Dish Network or a cable or anything. I'm still cheaper because even if I get HBO Max, that's $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I pay for CBS, but I pay the yearly fee. So it's like $50-something for a year.
Yeah.
And then I pay for Hulu.
Yeah, which has $6.
Right. And well, I have the $11 one, so because I don't want commercials. So technically speaking, I pay, you know, I don't – it's still cheaper to me monthly than it is to me to get cable right now.
True. And technically, considering that Hulu is owned by Disney, technically I'm paying the same amount for Hulu and Disney Plus as I would be paying for I'm paying for HBO Max. So, there are rumors. I'm sure Tim and the Guardians will go into this a bit more. I'm sure the Random Chatter guys will go into this a bit more. But there are rumors that Hulu and Disney Plus are just gonna merge at some point.
I was just about to say that.
Would that end up raising the price for Disney Plus or not? Who knows?
See, and I'm curious about that too because, of course, we know this is a Marvel or Disney podcast, or whatever. But I bought the 3-year for like $3 a month deal back last July when they first dropped everything.
Yeah,
and it's like you had to pay for 3 years, but you got it for like $2 to $3 a month. And when you paid for 3 years, it's like the D23 membership thing. So I'm paid up for that. So if they merge the two, what's going to happen to my bill now?
I'm sure that will probably be grandfathered in for until that particular subscription is up.
Yeah.
Or they will give you some kind of equivalent to that because, as I don't talk about much, but I used to work for an internet company, and when we bought one of our competitors, we kept anyone who was on the annual price on the other company got to keep that at least until that was up, and then of course we raised the prices on everyone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this move, so kind of running all the way back around to Wonder Woman now, I think this move to put Wonder Woman on HBO Max and in theaters is a genius move, to be honest. I firmly believe that Warner Brothers is ahead of the game on this. They could hold out till the summer if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're already bleeding money, just like everybody else is bleeding money. And they know if they put it out there, they're going to get more subscriptions to the service.
Well, they've already got two of us, so
yeah. Right. So I mean, they're going to get more subscriptions, so they're going to guarantee themselves $15 a month rather than just maybe $15 per ticket. So they're already guaranteeing themselves monthly income rather than just a new movie month, you know, a couple times a year. It's a genius model. I think this is where streaming is going to. I think this is where our entertainment industry is going to. It's almost going to set up kind of a new world order with how media's indulged, because I understand Disney's waiting on Black Widow, but I'm afraid what's going to happen is by the time Black Widow gets here in July or the summer of next year, it may not be as
relevant
or excited about as people it is now. And that's one of the things that Wonder Woman, they didn't want it to go stale by next summer. Let's just get it out there. Let's boom it out there. Let's see what we can do. We're still putting in theaters. And then you have the issue next year of 2021 is coming. Once vaccines, everything else get out there, and people start going out again, you're going to have movies and from Sony, from Disney, from it was going to be from Warner Brothers, from Columbia, from everywhere. They're going to be eating each other alive in the box office.
Yeah.
And the money's just not going to be there for all of them because there are so many big movies coming out. So Warner Brothers said, you know what? We're going to put our movies on HBO Max, and we think that's the best thing. So speaking of Wonder Woman, it on HBO Max, it's going to be released in 4K ultra high definition, HDR10, Dolby Vision, and Dolby Atmos. Let's see. The official runtime for Wonder Woman came out as well for Wonder Woman 84. And the official runtime is – I saw it, and now I can't remember.
It's like 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Which yeah. I'm all here. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Hours.
It's a long time, but I'm good. I'm down with that. So
I mean, you know, we have both basically agreed that the extended version of BVS is the superior version. That's like over 3 hours.
Right.
So through the 2.5 hours isn't bad.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
And then, let's see, the first reaction. So people have seen it already, and they said it pretty much is a general consensus of this movie is the slam.
Uh-huh.
It's a sequel that doesn't feel like a sequel. It feels very 80-ish. It feels from the style to the tone, from the way it's portrayed, it feels very 80-ish. It gives a message of hope.
Yes.
In a way that desperately is needed right now.
Yes.
And it's nothing but positive reactions for this movie. It doesn't feel like kind of a normal sequel who kind of dives after the first movie. That it stays on par with it.
Right.
So, but speaking of HBO Max now, here's the big news. So after this decision to release Wonder Woman on the HBO Max.
Yep.
WB said, hey, let's release all of our 2021 movies on HBO Max as well. Because it received such a huge hit that people love the idea of Wonder Woman on HBO Max. They said, hey, let's do that too. So as officially, Warner Brothers is releasing every 2021 movie that they're coming out, from Dune to Matrix 4 to Suicide Squad. All are going to be released on HBO Max. The same way, I would assume, as Wonder Woman.
Yes. And again,
think about this.
Again, I'm just going to say,
here's my money.
I'm just going to say, your move, Disney. Your move.
Yeah. Disney, and we're not bashing Disney. We're just saying Disney
better come up with something. I am not bashing Disney either. I have issues with Disney, but I also love Disney. So, but yeah, this is just like, you know what, your move.
Yeah. Yeah, they threw down the gauntlet. Let's see who picks it up. So, and it's, again, it's not a bash against them. It's just, hey, Warner Bros., I think, is making a genius move here. We're not going to have our movies get eaten up in a box office. We're going to take what we can get. They're going to make lower budget movies probably in the future. But this is where things are going to. I do think we're still going to have theaters, but I don't think you're going to see as many theaters as we did now.
Yeah, and I think that this is going to possibly be a good thing because, okay, so they're not going to have as much money to sink into these ginormous blockbusters. That may open the doors for
creativity
for people to get to work on things that would not normally have been greenlit because no one, because
no one
wants
to shell out that much money.
No one wants to shell out that much money for something that's not a sequel to who knows what. This could be a good thing. It's like, you know, this is as much as this year has sucked on many, many levels, this is also the time for people to get creative with stuff and do things that might not have worked normally, and
right.
see if that's going to work.
Right. So let me give an example of what Carrie was saying. Here's the best example. And I use this in Discord too. A Quiet Place. The budget was like $17 million.
Uh-huh.
That movie destroyed the box office with almost $341 million. So a lower budget made more money. It is very possible for the exact same thing to happen on these. So I think Warner Brothers is making a great, great move. I think they're mm-hmm. getting out of the box office next year, because they understand that you're going to have every other movie like 007 and Fast and the Furious and Disney movies and whatever else crap's coming out next year.
Right.
We'd rather take our chances on here. So I don't know what Disney's going to say this week. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. But as far as HBO Max goes, I'm down with this. Speaking of HBO Max, if you want to get in right now, the free trial period is ending right before the Wonder Woman 1984 premiere. But there is a way of getting in right now. You get 6 months for 20% off,
mm-hmm.
but you have to pay the full 6 months now. So keep that in mind. But that's still a pretty good deal for 6 months if you want to get into that. And what I did find funny, and I called uh-huh. them out on Twitter too, was that Roku trended on HBO after HBO Max announced this huge movie release for 2021, because
yeah.
it's still not available on Roku.
Yeah. And considering I have a Roku TV, this is rather annoying. I mean, yes, I can load up the HBO Max website on my computer, which is also connected to my TV, but
extra
this points. It's like, well, it's like, come on, guys. And there are apparently ways around this. Apparently, if you are signed up for HBO Max, you can use the HBO app on Roku to stream any HBO content there is, but that only applies to the HBO content. That doesn't apply to anything on HBO Max. You can also apparently use HBO Max through the Apple TV Plus app, but it requires you to have the 4K version of the subscription. So unless you're willing to shell out money for that, it's not good.
I mean,
might as well not.
It'll happen. Roku will eventually... Yeah. You know, fall in line with everybody else. I mean,
yeah,
it would be stupid for them not to. And I don't know whose fault it is. We don't know if it's WB's fault. We don't know if it's Roku's fault.
Yeah.
We don't know the details, but it would be almost stupid for these two not to pair, because I would dare say a majority of your smart TVs are Fires
uh-huh.
and Roku's.
Or Apple Plus.
Or Apple Plus. So to have two out of those three, I would almost say Roku probably is the majority.
But I suddenly understand Tim's issues with Comcast and HBO, you know?
Yeah. So there's that.
And what is even stupider is that, I mean, my internet connection is through the Warner Brothers cable internet service, and I still can't get. I still can't get it onto my Roku.
That's so sad.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Like I already give you guys money. Just fix it.
Now, Rusty in the Discord also said, and I kind of agree with him, I think we're going to see a deal by the 24th of December. Knowing Wonder Woman's coming out on the 25th, I can see a deal finally happening by the 24th, because you're going to mm-hmm. have a lot of angry people that they have Roku. They're going to be stuck watching it on their phone. Come on.
Or their computer, but yeah, stones. Right. Okay.
So, well, Carrie, we have one bit of Into the Snyderverse news.
We do.
Would you like to introduce this one?
Yeah, so Warner Brothers CEO has revealed that Justice League will be released in a few months.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's getting HBO Max now.
Say, yeah, on HBO Max. Well, this is why we have HBO Max, right?
Yes.
Well, that and Titans and Doom Patrol and
everything else.
But I mean, they haven't. It says first half of 2021. It's still a bit vague about exactly when, but
that's gonna be in between what, January and June. I mean,
yeah, like
I'm thinking March or April probably is when we're gonna see it.
Yeah, or May. Happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Do you want me to sing to you right now?
Okay,
I'll wait till May. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all of our news. That was a lot of news to talk about.
Yeah.
But we do have a movie to talk about because Mike finally watched this movie. So
it only took him 2 weeks.
It only took me 2 weeks. Carrie, let's talk about what?
Wonder Woman from March 3rd of 2009.
How apropos that we're talking about this movie when all this news came out this week.
Oh yeah. It totally works. It's like we planned this. No.
Absolutely.
We did not plan this at all, guys.
I did. Carrie just didn't know.
No, he didn't. He really didn't. Don't let him fool you. Okay, so a modern man's trespass on the island of the Amazons enables an imprisoned war god to escape, and Princess Diana wins the responsibility to recapture him.
All right, I have thoughts on this movie.
So you've warned me.
I cannot stand Steve Trevor in this movie.
You know, I don't hate him in this movie. I think he's okay, but as much as I love Nathan Fillion in almost anything I have seen him in, with the exception of the last half season of Buffy, I like him better when he's voicing Hal Jordan.
I 100% agree with that. I just didn't like some of the lines he used toward Diana.
The disemboweling line from last week, that was awesome.
That was pretty funny. But like the male chauvinistic lines,
you know,
demeaning lines about her being about the woman thing, and just hitting on her, flirting with her the whole time. I was just like, oh my goodness, please stop.
You can definitely tell that this was a pre-Me Too movement style movie.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like I'd have to look it up when the Me Too movement started, but there is a definite demarcation with this movie. It's like as soon as the Me Too movement starts, this kind of crap, so that Mike doesn't have to edit me, no longer flies.
So, they said it was initially used in 2006 on MySpace, but it became really big with the Weinstein back in October 2017. That's when it really started to go viral.
So 2017 is when the movement really took off.
Right.
Who was still on MySpace in 2006? I wasn't.
I never got a MySpace.
I did.
Carrie, you got a MySpace? Hey, we should be MySpace friends.
Yeah, I don't. I my account's probably dead by now.
I wonder if they still have MySpace.
I don't know.
They do have MySpace. Carrie, we should.
MySpace
sign
still
up for
exists.
MySpace.
Wow.
MySpace Just we should sign up for MySpace. Start a random chatter MySpace page.
No,
let's do
really,
it.
We really shouldn't.
Eric, since you're listening, maybe you should. should start a MySpace.
No, definitely not.
It started it. Oh man, we're there. I'm doing it. I'm an artist. Anyways, back to Steve Trevor. I couldn't stand him. Maybe it wasn't the character as much as I didn't like the dialogue. Now, one person I did love Artemis. I will say that Artemis.
Oh yeah, I will take any excuse to write Artemis into a story because. And this goes back to the 90s when I was reading more comics. Artemis is a complete and total badass. I mean, she had her own run for a while, and I don't remember if it was in the main Wonder Woman book or if it was in her book where she's basically imprisoned and she's without weapons. So she basically braids her hair because her hair is usually that pictured as that long. Mm-hmm. She braids her hair, cuts it off, and then uses it as a whip.
My goodness!
Like, come on! Like,
what?
This is like totally badass.
And like, what like really sealed this for me when I wrote this note was when she was looking at oh shoot, who was it? The queen? I can't remember her name now. Crap.
Hippolyta.
Yes, Hippolyta, she's looking at the queen and she says, "Is that your sword?" "Sword? This is but my dagger." I'm like, "Holy crap, the girl had a rock him. The sword's like, sword's bigger than me." She's like, "This is just but my dagger." I'm like, "Wow."
Yeah. Yeah.
So Artemis was great. I mean, it's a typical, so like the God of War got out with the help of another Amazon who was also imprisoned. And
well, she wasn't in prison. She was one of his it was Hades, not Hades, Ares.
Right.
Who was imprisoned. And it was one of I do not like
Yeah, I don't
this
like that
version of Hades.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And this is probably just me, but and having me having watched too much Xena or something. Mm-hmm. But I have a really hard time picturing or Hades as that much like I swear I am trying not to fat shame here, but I have a hard time reconciling an image of Hades with Jabba the Hutt.
No, that's about right. That's that because I remember when I saw this, I had to think, who's he talking to? And I had to look it up because I'm like, who is this God of War talking to? And then I looked up, I was like, that's not Hades.
That's not Hades.
Right.
That is no version of Hades I have ever seen.
Exactly.
In a fictional format. And as much as I am really not a fan of James Woods right now, I will take James Woods' version of Hades over this guy.
Any day. Yes. So, I thought it was a good movie. It was interesting. Obviously, it seems like every Wonder Woman we kind of watch kind of has this storyline of Wonder Woman coming to become Wonder Woman. It seems like every Wonder movie we've gotten so far, except for what we know is coming to 84, has been in Wonder Woman origin. So, we know this one was kind of an origin. You know what, though?
I liked the tournament aspect of
yes.
this.
Yes.
I think we're gonna get some a different version of the tournament
in Wonder Woman 84.
Because it looks like whatever tournament is happening, Hippolyta is aware that Diana is one of the competitors because it's still child Diana.
Yes.
Unless you know the trailer is deceptive, which it could be, but I like the idea that instead of Diana trying to sneak Steve Trevor off the island, that she enters the tournament in secret and wins the right to leave the Themyscira. in her own right. And I also like the concept that when she leaves Themyscira, she can come home again. Because right. most of the versions we have of Wonder Woman, of Diana, we have seen so far is that once she leaves the island, she's not allowed to return.
Right. This time she can. This time is the one that says, hey, you go back. We want you to, kind of be our ambassador and always come back home, is what her mom said. Right, always come back home to see us.
Right. I mean, even in Justice League, she in the, not the movie, even in the animated series, when she leaves Themyscira, she's not allowed back. She's not allowed back until her mother is in trouble, and then they're like, "Okay, we're desperate. We need you to come and help us with that." And then they had to get special permission to get the male version, the male members of the Justice League onto Themyscira. It was this entire like weird thing because, of course, you know, men are not allowed on the island, except when they are. My other note on this was, I really wish I could be surprised that the American solution to a war zone in DC was to nuke the Themyscira.
That seems to be the general decision made in any DC movie we've seen. Let's just nuke them.
Yeah.
Let's just nuke them.
Yeah.
Without even real intel, we are pretty sure that these people are against us. We're pretty sure this is the island we come to, that they came from. Let's just nuke them. Okay. Really?
I may be fired for quoting Space Invaders, but here it goes. But one of my favorite, one of the lines I use a lot of the time in response to idiocy like this is, you know, there's this line, was like, what the hell is that? Who cares? Just shoot it. that is exactly the mindset that we are looking at here. It's like, who cares what the heck it is? Just nuke it. who cares if that's just gonna make it worse? Hello, Doomsday.
Yeah, so two things about what you just said. Number one, yes, I agree. Number two,
I'm going to get fired for that?
I know. I need to get a portion of that clip at the beginning where you had that Western accent. And I just need to use that during the podcast. When somebody says something stupid or dumb, I just need to stop and just play that clip real quick during the podcast.
You want me to say it again? What the hell is that?
Exactly. That's exactly okay. What we need.
There you go.
You have two
outtakes there. It'll be like Tim's language, center for when people use bad language on Guardians.
Yep. I'll let you know when I cut it tomorrow. Oh boy. Anyways, do you have anything else about this movie?
I don't.
All right. So our next movie is Green Lantern: First Flight. So
yes.
Check that out. That's for us. Next week also, Caped Chronicles, I'll go ahead and plug this in, is going to be talking about the Christmas movie Die Hard. And, of course, I know it's going to rub some people the wrong way. That's cool. It's okay. You can be wrong.
Hey, I forget which channel I posted it to, but the Mary Sue posted this article a week ago saying that, basically, you know, a Christmas movie is whatever you watch at Christmas that puts you in a Christmas spirit. I know of a podcaster who, you know, Wrath of Khan is his Christmas movie.
Hey,
and I tend to watch vampire movies at Christmas because why not?
And technically speaking, Deadpool would be considered in a Christmas movie category because of the fact that it's got a scene where he's at Christmas. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So anyways, well, Carrie, where can people find you if they want to reach out?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's KERI Blackfire 42.
And you can find me on Twitter at the DC Mike or over on the Discord server. So check out all those amazing podcasts coming up. We have Cape Chronicles, Guardians. I know is going to have a lot this week. Random Chatter is going to have a lot. Check out all of our other shows, too. Enter the Dojo is going to be hitting back here in a couple weeks with season 2 of Cobra Kai. So yeah, make sure you check all that stuff out.
I need to finish watching that season.
And, with all that being said, hey, we're going to go ahead and jump out and we're going to go enjoy the new world order that is HBO Max and streaming.
Yeah.
So thank you all so much. Have a good night and we'll see you next time on DC Talk.
Bye.